that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Richard will now help us to explore this theme.
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to publish through the earth abroad the honours of your name. Amen. Good morning. Hands up those who have broken the sixth commandment. I will ask again. Hands up those who have broken the sixth commandment. I'm very reluctant to see the rector has not put... Anyway, but we'll pursue this. When I have some thoughts this morning that might help us put the answer to this in some sort of perspective, I know that I may upset one or two by what I say, but these thoughts are as a result of studying God's word, praying about the issues, personal experience, amongst a whole host of other things, and this is what I have come to conclude. But first of all, I think I need to make something very clear and clear something up. In the authorized or the King James version of the Bible, this commandment is indeed translated, thou shalt not kill. But in fact, because of how language has changed and has evolved since the 17th century, the more accurate modern translation of the Hebrew is, you shall not murder. And there is significant difference between the two words of kill and murder. This makes a huge difference in how this commandment should be interpreted. Why is this so? Well, the word kill can mean both the killing of animals as well as of humans. Also, in regards to humans, this can be deliberately or by accident. Kill can also mean the taking of human life, legally or illegally, morally or immorally. On the other hand, murder can only mean one thing, the illegal or immoral taking of a human life. So how does this make a difference? For example, if the commandment forbade killing, as the King James translation suggests, then we shouldn't kill animals, and therefore, we should all have to be vegetarians. Also remember the Jewish custom of sacrifice. This would have had to have been abandoned as soon as Moses came back down the mountain. And we know this just didn't happen. We would also have to be pacifists because we could not even kill in self-defense. But I suggest we could look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and Exodus chapter 22. If we look at the first five books of the Bible, known as the Torah, we will find other commandments that include the allowance of the death penalty for murder and the lawful killing in war. Therefore, the correct translation of this commandment is vital. So be careful when trying to cite this commandment in defending the view that opposes capital punishment, supports pacifism. Just read the works of Thomas Aquinas, or even vegetarianism. This commandment is solely about murder. However, in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, as I've mentioned, it does give permission for capital punishment, but only in the case of murder. However, I am personally against capital punishment for other reasons, because I believe in redemption and forgiveness. And I also remind myself that if all murderers should be put to death, then Moses, David, and St. Paul should have all been executed, and where would we be now? But I shouldn't use the sixth commandment to bolster this view. Therefore, we have two types of killing, moral and immoral, and it is the immoral that this commandment is referring. This leads on to three subjects that can cause a great amount of opinion and feeling. They are abortion, suicide, and euthanasia. All three of these are emotive subjects, but I feel that an address on the sixth commandment in our modern day that does not address these issues is failing in its duty. With all these three subjects, it boils down to who has the right to take another life, or in the case of suicide and to some extent euthanasia, one's own life. Who does life belong to? And what modern, and that modern word that is always mentioned in such subjects is choice. All of these subjects demand more time to discuss than we have this morning. However, all three situations need to be seen in the light of what we mean by the sanctity of life. For example, God said to Noah, "For in the image of God has God made man." And there are numerous other verses that make the same point. For me, the ending of a life by human intervention in these ways is not the answer to the problem that seems to be needed to be solved in the first place. In fact, it can create far bigger issues of remorse, guilt, and despair. Sadly, I have had the occasion to be involved with numerous suicides and having to deal with its after effects and knowing that its repercussions can have a lifetime to come to terms with, if ever. So do the words of Jesus give us any help when talking about such things? When reading scripture, Jesus always sees beyond the issue and looks at its source. This is what he does in those words that we have just heard Michael read from the Sermon on the Mount. He gets to the root of the problem, and that problem is summed up in one word, anger. This whole commandment has its roots in how we deal with our anger. With abortion, it may be anger towards oneself if you found out that you have become unintentionally pregnant, or if there has been a rape, anger towards the perpetrator. With euthanasia, there may be anger towards the illness, its unfairness, or even against God. And with suicide, it is usually anger against the situation the person finds themselves in and sees no way out or a satisfactory alternative. I hope you see my point. Jesus' standards are higher than that of the world's. That's not to say that all anger is wrong. There is such a thing as righteous anger, of which God displays quite often in the Old Testament, and the psalmist is often heard showing his anger towards God. Anger can be a positive emotion if it leads us to bring about justice or moves us to improve a situation. It is when anger leads us into sin that Jesus is talking about. Although we may become angry, there is no question that anger is a signal to us to examine or to deal with ourselves, not justification for striking out at others. As Paul says in the Ephesians, In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. That is why the peace is so important as part of our communion service. It gives us an opportunity to put things right before we come to God's table. For as Matthew says, first go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. We see so much anger in our world. We only have to look at the number of mass shootings in recent years, or the amount of knife crime and domestic abuse, road rage, bullying. The list can go on. How can we bring an end to this negative and destructive side of anger? Well, that is something for another day. But I hope that you will leave church and give it some thought, for this is something that affects each and every one of us. So, for me, the sixth commandment is really a call to us to look at how we deal when things don't go our way or we disagree with what is happening around us. The Bible deals with both human and divine anger. Anger is a feeling that may be provoked by others' actions, is something all human beings experience. Anger may be justified or unjustified, but the feeling of anger is never justification for sinful actions. The Old Testament gives us guidings for dealing with our anger. Just read Psalm 37. And the New Testament underlines the importance of choosing to respond by treating others with compassion and forgiveness, rather than angrily seeking revenge. God too knows the feeling of anger. The Old Testament clearly specifies what human actions provoke God to anger. The New Testament treats wrath as a basic rational state, showing that the unsaved are under God's wrath. But God never acts capriciously in his anger. He always acts in full harmony with his character as a loving, forgiving, compassionate and just creator. We need to follow that example in our lives. This has been a whistle-stop approach to a vast issue that at first glance seems to be rather simple, but turns out to become very complex because it is so very personal. So I will, in conclusion, ask once again to put your hand up. Who has broken the sixth commandment? Thank you. Amen.